You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning, and welcome to Unity of Tustin. So throughout the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be showing you and sharing with you some pictures that I took at my recent trip back to Unity Village in Missouri, where Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, really, they used to call it Unity Farm, but where they eventually moved out from Kansas City to dedicate themselves and their lives and their work to publishing, to teaching, and to sharing, and to praying, sharing the unity message with the world. So you'll be seeing pictures from the beautiful gardens and grounds and buildings that have been developed over the last 150 years. And there are going to be more to come because I didn't exhaust the resource, so to speak. There is lots more I can take. So as you see the images, just feel that power and the presence of our lineage and the part of our heritage here at Unity of Tustin. I wanted to share with you that this picture is actually of a bench that we dedicated from a couple of years ago that actually looks over the Bridge of Faith to the Unity Tower. That's now the Awaken Whole Life Center. And the dedication says, "A Unity of Tustin, California, a place of beauty, infinite light, peace, silence, and love without an opposite." So we have a little piece of us at Unity Village, a piece of Unity Village is here with us in our hearts and through the prayer consciousness and so much more that we experience through the teachings. So as we join together this morning, let us begin in prayer, knowing that there is no separation in consciousness. I invite you to close your eyes, feeling the power and the presence of that living, loving Christ, the divine, that moves in and through and as each one of us, our lives, our being. We join together this morning not to forget, but to remember. Remember the truth of who we are, the essence of all that is. And so, O Holy One, we open to that movement of the divine that we call the Holy Spirit, the breath, the activity of God, inspiring the music, inspiring our actions, inspiring the words and the prayers, using and allowing them all to be pointers to and from God. So in this awareness, we stand in gratitude as we say, "Thank you, beloved one." And so it is. Amen. So, prayer. I was having a conversation with a colleague when I was back at Unity Village, actually during some of my ministerial training. And it's always fascinating for me to chat with ministers because you can always tell at least a ballpark of when they went through ministerial training, because every era will have a different lament about the other eras of training. Probably and extrapolate that to the rest of your life too. You know, when I went through school, it was right. They taught it right. So my colleague was lamenting that others of our colleagues were still praying to a God that sounded seemingly like God was out there or was using a gender, a mother-father God of some kind, and was saying that that's not what we teach, that's not what Unity believes, and was really, you know, deeply concerned about the theological implications, which, you know, only ministers get twisted up about, really, about what that really means and is saying about what we're presenting to the greater community. And I said, and I was listening, I mean, I heard the concern and the deep need to represent these powerful teachings in a way that was in alignment with what his truth was about Unity. And I said, you know, I hear you. I really hear your concern. And I'm also aware that, you know, Charles Fillmore himself didn't really pray that way. He prayed to the Father. He went to headquarters, which he would call the silence, and he would go into the silence to commune with the Father. And I said in my, you know, my friend didn't particularly care for that because it wasn't the essence of what he was wanting to say. But I said, you know, here's one of the ways that I've been able to really hold all of the different ways that we pray in Unity and that we have taught literally in different eras in Unity without making any of them wrong. And so I proceeded to talk with him about what in integral theory is called the three faces of God. How many of you have heard of the three faces of God? It has radically changed my way of holding prayer and communion in a way that doesn't make anyone wrong and simply sees that they are different perspectives of how we commune and communicate. So the three faces of God are God, Spirit as an it, God, Spirit as a you or a thou, and God, Spirit as an I. So we have the absolute, the truth principle, where you notice patterns, where you really are in the inquiry and the contemplative, where you contemplate the nature of existence, God as an it, this neutral witness that sees everything, that can observe God and God's creation, that contemplates the mystery and opens, wants to know. This is where we see the patterns and the textures and the energies, especially in nature. There's a nature element to this, where we go out and into the woods and we can feel God. We can see the evidence of God at work. We're observing. God as you or thou is that relational God, the one that we pray to, that we have a literal relationship with. There's a devotional aspect, a real sense of connection, of letting the mystery be in the dance. And we experience this face of Spirit, this face of God, through prayer and communion, through worship, through even chanting, these devotional practices that there is a relational quality to. There is an embodiment and a dance. God or Spirit as a you, as a thou. The final one, this God or Spirit as I. This is where we experience really in meditation the sense of letting go of all identifications of me as Carolyn, as this finite, where I have a birth date and I have a death date that will happen sometime in the future. And that we drop that sense of this is who I am and experience God as I. I am that. Where our identifications melt away and we experience our I am-ness, our Christ light, as the ultimate truth of who we are, as the living truth and embodiment of who we are. Can you feel in your life how you've probably accessed all three of those? Seen God in God's world, wanted to experience God in God's world. You've felt that relational component of prayer, of communion with God, that it might have been a God outside, or it might have simply been a God that is an energetic, relational component. A God that we experience we look at it as an external God, but really it's just simply this divine essence, this divine deity that doesn't have to literally be where we're disconnected from God. But there is a relational aspect. And then the third one, where it is God as I, God as self, capital S self. It isn't the self where, you know, Carolyn, the mini-me plays God. That's a whole other talk about how we can co-opt the divine process. But what this is about is simply recognizing and waking up to what is, to our true nature. And so we can get hang-ups along the way. And my friend was experiencing one of his hang-ups, which was the relational one. He was not caring for the relational component of the three faces of God. That prayer where we pray to God as our beloved. And so I shared all that with him, and I said, you know, it's really helped me to understand that they're all three different perspectives of how we can and do see and communicate with the beloved, with God, with that divine principle. When you're in crisis, praying to principle doesn't really give you solace and comfort in a time of need. Some people do, and that's fine if that's where your orientation is. But it doesn't make the others wrong. He listened to what I had to say. Not sure I convinced him. But I would offer for all of us that there are those three components. And they're very powerful. And it's really would be a fascinating aspect as you explored what prayer is to you in the meditation and the contemplation for you to kind of overlay where are you showing up? Is prayer really more of a seeing and being in the world, of seeing God in all of it, of bearing witness in that way? Is that what prayer is right now for you? Is prayer really a daily devotion, practicing the presence of God? I love Brother Lawrence's, they're letters, really, but his, you know, he peels the potatoes with God. He does all his, you know, his chores that he doesn't like to do. He does them with God. He does them for God. Is that what prayer is right now for you? Is prayer a true desire to connect and to live the embodiment of the Christ light, that divine self? Through claiming your divine identity, through living from that divine identity? Or are you dancing through all three of them? I'll tell you, just like my friend, right now, Unity, I think, has a little bit of an aversion, depending on what era, again, the minister comes from, to that relational prayer. So if you talk with other Unity students or people who've been around in Unity for a while, you might hear them not referencing God in that same way. So just know, they're not connecting through that relational quality. But it's within our tradition, it's within our literature, just like all the others are. What I've found fascinating is looking back at what Charles and Myrtle Fillmore and really the light bearers of Unity that began our tradition, looking at what they said about prayer. There's some beautiful quotes. Oh, you fixed it. All right. So Charles Fillmore said, "Prayer is the affirmation of truth that eternally is. It is our steady effort to know God. There is an intimate connecting spirit that logically unites us and Source." And this is actually a picture of Myrtle Fillmore's grove, they call it. It's a beautiful little alcove. "Prayer is the affirmation of truth that already is." What Unity has brought to prayer and the power of prayer is something very beautiful. And I want to explore that a little bit more, that can hopefully even integrate all three of those perspectives, because ultimately we will be using all three of those perspectives, those three faces of spirit. Prayer is the affirmation of truth that already is. So in Unity, we look at prayer not from the Old Testament perspective. Remember the God from the Old Testament? What was that God like? Punishing. If you didn't do what you were supposed to do. And if you did what you were supposed to do, you were rewarded, right? This is also where we get the wonderful scripture that I do occasionally still go back to. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord," which helps me remember it's not mine to do. But that, you know, that image of God that's going to take out, just unleash the Kraken, right? That is not the God that Unity knows and that we invite people to live from. So another inquiry point for you is, which God do you align with? The God that's like the Santa Claus that will give the gifts out, the goodies out if you're good? Or do you align with a God that is infinitely loving based in spiritual principle and truth. That as we align, prayer is the affirmation of truth that already is. As we align with that truth, our prayers are answered. There's a fundamental shift. So unity and new thought has really offered to the field what we call affirmative prayer. How many of you have heard of affirmative prayer before? Okay, good. Affirmative prayer is about cultivating our awareness of oneness, of the divine. And it is truly about praying from the consciousness of God, where we slip into that expanded reality, that expanded sense at whatever level we have access to, and pray from the divine consciousness. Where we identify with our true nature, and we claim the gifts of that divine nature. Where it's not about asking for, but about recognizing what is. Because remember, prayer is the affirmation of truth that eternally is. It is about consciousness. An affirmative prayer also reveals the highest truth we can comprehend in this moment. That is what affirmative prayer is. It is a claiming of the truth from the consciousness of the divine. So, let's talk about what that looks like then. One of the things that Charles Fillmore particularly worked with, he was really the teacher. Myrtle was the prayer. She was the one who wrote the letters when people would send in prayer requests. And she was the one who was really connected and committed to serving our children. So she did a whole publication called We Wisdom that was very popular, actually. But she was not the one who was out speaking a lot. So she would write letters, and there are compilations of several of her letters and in some books that are really beautiful. And then Charles was the one who really did the teaching, and his teachings were, his lectures were recorded and transcribed into books. So when you read his material, they were really actually spoken and then were transcribed into written material later, which is a little bit of a different writing and reading style. If you have trouble getting through his material sometimes, just wait, hold on, keep plugging away. It will, you'll get there. So, they started talking about denials and affirmations. One of the things, especially Myrtle, that she got pretty feisty about, and she could be feisty. If you read some of her letters, she does not mince words. In fact, from another era, I've had another colleague say, we're not feisty enough anymore. Those are my words. But, you know, we're not living from the legacy of the Fillmores, where we're really calling people into taking action. And that's what they did. They truly were about prayer as the alignment with living truth. And it is about our steady effort to know God and to live from that consciousness that changes our life. This is what prayer was for them. And so that meant that there was an active component to prayer. It was not passive. And the way that they really worked with that active component of prayer is through what they called denials and affirmations. Now, when we think of denials, unfortunately, And fortunately, the psychological world has given us a pre-described definition. What is denials that we typically think of?
Oblivious.
Being oblivious. Yeah, I'm not. You could probably give us some more clinical definitions, right? But being oblivious, not acknowledging what is, what's real. That is not what denials are when we look at them from a prayer consciousness in unity. Denials are about not believing and actually disowning, refusing to accept limiting thoughts or things that are actually contrary to divine truth, to divine reality. That is what in unity we look at as denials. So we're denying the belief in facts and feelings as permanent. So if you have a health diagnosis, that is, and you take that as a fact, what we would deny is the permanence of that, that's the end of the story, that there's no hope. Denials also are about denying negative interpretations of circumstances. I think another way to say that is we start to reframe what's happening. We also deny identification with a condition, with something that is arising. We don't have to claim it as me, as who I really am. And we also can deny the misguided beliefs about our divine nature or our divine identity. One of the classic ones are, I'm no good. If we got that as a child and we're hanging on to that, that's something that we can start to deny because it is not true. So we're not, from the clinical definition, being oblivious or pushing away or not accepting reality. What we are is we actually are embracing what is real by denying, by releasing what isn't really true. So you feel that? There's an active role of releasing what needs to be released, what is serving as a block. And then what do we place and what do we hold instead? This is what unity calls affirmations. So what are not affirmations? Because at this point, you know, there's been enough information that's kind of trickled out that it gets a little lost. So affirmations are not positive thinking. This isn't every day in every way, I'm the best person I can be. That's positive. That's not necessarily a bad thing to think, but that is not an affirmation. Or it's all good. That's a positive thing to say. It is not an affirmation. It's also not possibility thinking. So something like, I know there is a better fitting position for me. The employer I am seeking is now seeking me. That's a great possibility. That's a great thought. That is not an affirmation. Affirmations are not also wishful thinking. If I say I am a millionaire 1,000 times a day, that's a wishful thought, but it is not an affirmation. And all of these have been confused for affirmations over time, FYI. Affirmations are also not statements predicting a future. Like, I am attracting the ideal partner. That is a hope. That is a wish. That is not an affirmation. So you're getting a sense of what it's not? So then we can call in what affirmations are. What affirmations are a declaration of spiritual truth. What is ultimately true? What is a divine spiritual principle? They emphasize being rather than doing. And they stem from a spiritual realization. You can feel, you know, when you have a spiritual truth, you can just feel it in your gut, you can feel it in your heart, you can just, there's something about it that you just, there's truth to it, and it's universal. Spiritual truth, divine truth, is universal. And it is affirming. So prayer becomes this active calling forward and seeing and living from the truth. And the other thing that Reverend Linda Martella Whitsett wrote in one of her books on prayer was about this living affirmation, which I love. I haven't heard that piece before, where the living affirmation is not only do we say or do we see what is true, but we also contemplate how we can live from that. What is an actual action in the world that will help us embody spiritual truth? So I had this wonderful email from someone who used to come here and was just checking in with several of us, and she's just truly a beautiful soul. And she and I have been praying for quite a while about certain aspects of her life. And she shared with me a writing from 4 years ago that I'd like to share with you as we prepare to really, for you to start to see where are you being called to hold in prayer, hold in spiritual truth what is real. So she said, "Life moves forward, not backward." I'm sharing a little bit of a longer thing. "The river flows in one direction. We grow older, never younger in years. So move on from this relationship of 10 years, just like I moved on from the 20 years of marriage. Each man I loved valued monies above me when the rubber met the road. Each man loved me greatly. But I need to see, experience, know that I am above money. Perhaps that's the romantic love I idealized, but that's what I believe. I would rather not be with someone instead of trading my values. So, lessons learned after two love experiences. I need and want and desire a partner who trusts in life to unfold exactly as it is meant to be, yet not be destitute or poor or groveling or desperate. I need and want and desire someone who embraces changes that are inevitable, someone who understands the connections of body, mind, spirit, who practices and lives with the highest good intentions. I know I am preparing myself for a journey that is trusting of life and my highest good. Life is good. Life is amazing. Life is grand. I thank the universe, the Buddha, and God for giving this beautiful life experience." So she had this vision and was aligning with the spiritual truth of freedom, of releasing these past relationships and calling in one who holds a different vibration. So she and I had been praying over time, and it really became clear that she needed to make a decision where she needed to move out of the area to get a job. And so one of the things that and I share this all with her permission, one of the things that we prayed about was truly in this new job, that this was her action, her living affirmation for claiming freedom. Because one of the stipulations of what was really a nasty divorce and continued for 20 plus years was that she needed to pay child support, and she had $10,000 left on that relationship, on ties to that relationship. And so this job was a living affirmation and a statement of, and a means to be financially free and energetically free from this relationship. It was part of what the reason for this whole journey was. And so she shared, I got this yesterday. Dear ones, as I was leaving, and she said, I'm sending you this as witnesses that all is well on my journey, as we know as in life. Less than 24 hours from leaving LAX, my former husband accepted the $10,000 lump sum payment for the back pay of child support, which was actually supposed to be double the amount. And she and I had worked out a plan where she was going to put money aside and pay it off over 2 years. And all of a sudden, I'm getting an email from her saying she has the money now, 2 years early. She said, one of my sisters gave me the check to complete my wish to have a fresh start. And at the Department of Child Support and him on the phone, the paperwork started the closing of this saga. And I'm once again in awe of the power of intention, the depth of watering the good seeds, and the miracle of holding sacred space for life to unfold. You and countless other beings, directly and indirectly, have lent a helping hand in this life transformation for me, and I thank you. This is the power of prayer. When we stand in truth, there was a truth of freedom and an intention that was backed by action to say, this is really what I hold. A denial of the power of that, of the past relationship, and a affirmation of freedom. And she's starting a new relationship. So, in your orders, in your bulletins, in your newsletters, you received a prayer list. Knowing that prayer is a denial of what is not true, or a belief in the permanence of a situation, and an affirmation of spiritual truth. I invite you to take a minute in the silence to ask, either in your own life, or in the lives of others, or even the world, what are you being called to hold in prayer? What are the names, or what are the situations? And what is the spiritual truth that is being asked to be lived? And when you're ready, I invite you to, all you need to do is put a name, and if you can, a spiritual truth on this list, because we're going to be holding on Thursday all of these in prayer. Throughout the day, we'll be holding them in prayer prior to that as well. But especially on that Thursday, we will be holding these in prayer. What or who is particularly on your heart to see in the light of God? And if you're willing, I invite you to put your name and your email address. That is optional. One of the principles that I really want to hold and invite us into living is the principle of action. Prayer in our meditation time, in our contemplation time, coming apart from the world is very important. Prayer in action is equally important. There's a saying that the Quakers had of pray and move your feet. It's that living affirmation and the embodiment. So as you're ready, I invite you to allow the symbol of literally coming forward and placing in our prayer, our beautifully restored by Harvey Beery prayer box, your prayers as a symbol of a living affirmation. You are willing to pray and move your feet. So when you're ready, I invite you, for those, some of you are still completing, others are complete, to come forward and to place in the prayer box your living affirmation, your prayer of spiritual truth. And Carol will play under us as we do that. And as you personally do it or you watch people doing it, I invite you to hold. This is God in action. This is principle manifesting. This is prayer. So as people continue to come forward, we're going to receive our love offering now. So I invite you to prepare your gift, prepare your tithe. as a symbol of that prayer in action. This is the manifestation of prosperity, of seeing it all as God. This is our living practice of that, giving with a joyful heart from a place of gratitude.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the Donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.